Tonight, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews once again. Hebrews chapter number 11, and we'll be reading in verse number 8, 9, and 10. We may read a number of verses here because of the passage that we have before us is a large passage. There is more written in Hebrews chapter 11 about Abraham than any other of the characters of the Old Testament. He and Moses take up a large majority of the space when it deals with individual people. And Abraham, of course, the most prominent of all the patriarchs of Israel, takes up this next space that we have in our Bibles, and it really goes on down through verse number 19. Now tonight we're dealing with Abraham and his calling. I better get these passed out, Brother Bradley. I forgot to do that. Get somebody helping me. We have Abraham tonight and his calling, and as we look at these verses, there's no way in one time together that we will be able to take care of all these verses. And next week, the Lord willing, I'm not sure yet on the Sunday night service, but the next time we'll be dealing with Sarah and her faith, but it's all in conjunction with this man by the name of Abraham. And we find that Abraham takes up much of the Old Testament space, and he certainly is one of the great men of the Bible, and through him we have much deliverance and many things given to us in the Word of God. So let's read together tonight in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's just read the whole passage, and then we'll just take three or four verses tonight, and then next time deal with some other things. But let's begin reading in verse number 8, Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll go ahead and read down through verse number 19, as this is the entire account of Abraham. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. These verses tonight are tremendous verses, and we certainly will not have time to go through all the different aspects of the life of Abraham and the life of Sarah and the offsprings that came to them by his obedience and by his faith. You'll notice here that the Lord says that Isaac was his only begotten. Isaac was that promised seed to Abraham and Sarah, And he was the one that was considered to be the offspring of Abraham that would have the divine promises of God fulfilled through that line. Now, there's another line of Abraham. That's the line of Hagar. And, of course, Ishmael, the son of Abraham. And they go two different directions and have two different gods and have two different everything. And so we're going to look tonight at the faith of Abraham in his calling. We will later on be looking at the faith of Abraham in this offering that he offered. And then we'll look at the faith of Sarah, how that she being past age of bearing a child, she believed the promise of God and she trusted God. And therefore God was faithful. So between Moses and Abraham in the book of Hebrews, chapter Hebrews 11, that has most of the text that is given to us. And tonight we take up his calling, or the calling of Abraham. By faith, Abraham, the Bible says, when he was called. There is a calling that came to Abraham, and it was a divine call, a divine command that told him that he was to leave his home. If we go back to the book of Genesis, there's much said in Genesis about Abram, or Abraham, later to be known as Abraham. And in chapter 12 of Genesis, and verse number 1, we'll be referring back and forth some to this chapter and these verses. And tonight, chapter 12, verse 1 of Genesis says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So here we find the faith of Abraham, the call of God. This call that came from the Lord was to leave his home. It was not just a choice that Abraham was to have, but it was a call of God. It wasn't just a suggestion. It was not an option. It was that Abraham was to follow the word of God and follow the message that God had given to him, that he was to leave his home, leave his kindred, leave the land of Ur of the Chaldees, and go to a place where God later would show him where he would be. And even in the reading of Hebrews, you'll find here the unknown in Abraham's leaving. It says that he should after receive for an inheritance. So the Lord called him to go out of the place that he would have as an inheritance. He did not know where he was going, but he knew that he had been called of God. He knew that the precept of faith was that he was to follow what God had for him. And therefore, by faith, when he was called, he moved and he went the direction that God had for him. You know, I put here letter number D, that we either live by faith or we live by the flesh. And that was true with Abraham's day, and that's true in our day. We either live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, or we try to figure it all out ourselves. We try to make it well, and we try to take care of all the problems. We just do it in the energy of the flesh, when if we would just live by faith and do it in the energy of the Spirit, it'd be far greater for us and far more enjoyable in the Christian life. And so the Bible says here that by faith, Abraham, when he was called. And so that tells us God called him. God spoke to him. God gave him direction. Now, I don't understand how the Lord did that. I don't understand how the message got to Abraham, because we'll find in a few minutes that Abraham lived in a land of idolatry. He lived in a land, even his fathers were idolaters. And I don't know how God came to Abraham, but just know that he came. And Abraham believed him. And later on it says that faith that Abraham was accounted unto him for righteousness. It was put to his account that he was righteous, and by that faith. And so when he was called of God, the Bible says he went out. Here in verse number 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out. So the scripture says God called him and Abraham did. God told him to leave and Abraham left. God told him to leave his family. He partially did that, and then later on had to completely separate from all his family. So when God called him, Abraham, I like the word there, how it's worded. It says, should after receive for an inheritance, a comma, and just has the word obeyed. Abraham obeyed God. Abraham believed God and trusted God, and faith was working in his life. He obeyed God, and he went out. Now, there's a lot of things in our day and time that are blamed upon faith. A lot of folks say, well, I did this by faith, but it didn't work. Well, if we do it by faith, it ought to work if it's leadership of the Lord. For the Lord will never guide us. He'll never direct us into a dark alley. He'll never put us in a place that will not work. And so some things are blamed on faith when it's really the actions of the flesh. When really it's the dealings of our flesh and the desires of our heart that sometimes gets us into a bad predicament. Abraham's calling was revealed to him by the word of God, and this calling and the true calling of God never violates the scripture. When a person is called to do something, or when God, when a man says that he's impressed to do something from the Lord, you can rest assured that if it's from the Lord, it will not violate scripture. It will not be in opposition to other things that are written in the word of God. I've had people tell me, the Lord's told me to do this, and I know the Bible says we shouldn't. Well, that's a foolish statement. Well, the Lord told me I need to do this, but I know there's no indication that God's really going to be for it. Well, then God didn't tell us to do it. Where God will provide, where God will lead us, He will provide the means to accomplish that. And then it will never be in opposition to His written word. Now, this book here is all that we have from God. We don't have any revelation continued. We don't have anything new and fresh. Even though some people seem to live that way and think that way, all we've got is all we've got. It's right here before us. And so when someone says that they are led to do something of God, and it's in opposition to the Scripture, you can rest assured that they're not having the leadership of the Lord. They need to try the spirits, because the Bible is, and I like the term, the Bible is final authority. There's nothing else past that. There's no Supreme Court over the Bible. It doesn't matter what our Supreme Court does. The Supreme Word of God takes precedent over what men may say. And so when Abraham was called by God, the Bible tells us that by faith he went out. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't understand all that was happening. He didn't have all the revelation. He didn't have any of the scriptures that we have. He didn't have anything to guide him and direct him other than the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the message of God that said, Abraham, get you up out of your country, leave your kindred, and go to a place where I'll show you to go. And the Bible says Abraham obeyed and he went out. And so he went the direction that God had called him to go. You and I have been called of God, first of all, in salvation, but then He also calls us to service. He calls us to live for Him and to do that by faith. And sometimes we don't know where we're going. Sometimes we don't know what direction for sure that God's going to lead us in. We just know that God wants us to serve Him. God wants us to do something for Him. And we just go out and start the trip and start the way of life and the path of faith. And God will guide and direct us in the pathway, because He is the one doing the leading. In Genesis chapter 21 and verse number 1, I believe that's probably supposed to be Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Scripture tells us here that He said to get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. So Abraham, I want you to leave. Now Abraham left, but didn't do totally what God told him to do. He took some of his family with him, and those family members caused him trouble. And they caused him a problem. And so God told him, get out of the country, leave your kindred, your kinfolks, and leave your father's house. Now, go back to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, we have Joshua's charge to Israel. this is right before his death. Now, this is a long time after Abraham, but he refers back to Abraham. In Joshua chapter 24, let's look at verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto the people, now notice here what he says. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Joshua is speaking, but he's speaking as if it is God speaking. He says, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Now, Abraham's family was not what we would classify as a godly family. Here, Joshua, through the word of the Lord, says, now, on the other side of the flood, and Abraham's family were idolaters. They followed, and they, in his native country, was a country of idolatry. The city of Ur, the land of the Chaldeans, was one of the hardest places, one of the most dangerous places of that day. And it was a very wicked place. And so God told Abraham to leave his kindred, to leave his country. You see, there are times when God separates us from that which holds us back. And he will separate us from loved ones. He'll separate us from our land. When missionaries leave this country, they're separated from their family and from their land, and they go to another place, and they do that by faith if they're following the word of the Lord. And so it seems as here God told Abraham, said, now you're in the midst of idolatry, and if you're going to do anything for the Lord, you're going to have to separate yourself from that. We know the story that he did not separate completely, because as they left earth, he took his father Terah with him, and they tarried there in Haran. And you can read about that in Genesis chapter 11. We're not going to turn back and read that. And then we know, of course, Lot, Abraham's nephew, hindered him greatly. And Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen were at each other, because one wanted this and another wanted that, and there was strife between them. And Abraham said, it's not good that brethren have this kind of strife. And so Abraham realized, and through the process of what God was doing in the lives of the herdsmen, God literally did separate Abraham from his family. If Abraham didn't do it on his own, then God could do it because of circumstances. And sometimes when we do not follow totally the will of God for our life, God can work it out in our life that it will be just exactly the way the Lord wants it. And he has to work circumstances in life to make that happen. And so, of course, we know the story of Lot, how that they were much, it was much strife between them. And Lot, I believe, hindered the walk of Abraham. Lot was very worldly and materialistic in his thinking. And Abraham said to Lot, he said, you look over all this land, and you take what you want to take, and I'll take what's left. Now, by rights, Abraham should have said, I'm going to take what I want, and you can have what's left. I'm the elder, I'm the older, and you're the nephew. But Abraham said, you look over everything, and you take what you want, and I'll take the other. And Lot proving to be his, proved his worldliness and his materialism. The Bible says that he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan, and he chose those places. And before long, you find that Lot is intermingling. Not only does he pitch his tent toward Sodom, but all of a sudden he's sitting at the gate of Sodom, and he is probably a ruler in that ungodly city, and many things take place because Lot was a very worldly individual. He was very materialistic minded, and even though he was a child of God, he had gone the wrong direction, and that materialism and worldliness finally did destroy him. And by the way, it will everybody else too. It'll finally eat away at your character. It'll eat away at your life. And worldliness will destroy the effectiveness of a believer. Abraham's family had bad effects on him, and so God separated him. That was the very first thing that God told him, get away from your kindred. He told him that before he ever left. He told him that before he departed, and yet Abraham took his father. Abraham took his nephew, and they proved to be a problem to him. They proved to be a hindrance to him. And so the Lord, in his marvelous way, he brought Abraham through a time of separation that purified him, or that he could be written of in Hebrews chapter 11. Sometimes God has to do a work on us before he can really use us. And so we find that Abraham's family were idolatrous people, and God told him, separate. Abraham didn't do it exactly as he should have. He left his country, but didn't leave his kinfolks, and God finally separated all of them. And Abraham is left to himself, he and Sarah, with no children. There's a price of living by faith. There is a struggle that takes place. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, God told Abraham to go out unto a place. In Genesis 12, 1, God says, go to a land that I show thee. In Genesis 11, 31, they went forth from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. So now it's identified. They're going to Canaan land. They're going to what later would be called the Promised Land. And so we find that Abraham is being commanded of the Lord to go. Genesis 12:5 says they went forth out of the land of Canaan, into the land of Canaan, into the land of Canaan they came. But brother, to get there was a price to be paid. Now Canaan land is not heaven. It does not typify heaven. I know we sing about it and it makes good singing, but that's still not heaven. I know we talk about going to promised land, and I understand our terminology. But in primary interpretation of the Word of God, Canaan represents a personal life that is in tune with the Lord. That's the promised land. Canaan land is a place where there are giants. Canaan land is where they went and looked and said, oh, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. Why, there's giants over there, and we look like little bitty ants in front of them. That's the struggles of this life. That's not heaven. They say, oh, it's just like God told us. But when the spies went to spy it out, they said, it's just like what God said it was. But we can't take it, even though God told them they could. And so they went out to Canaan, and there was a price that had to be paid. We've already covered this disassociation of his family and of his country. And the disapproval. He could not tell them where he was going because he didn't know himself. And I'm sure folks looked at him and said, you're doing what? You're going where? Sort of like Noah. You're building a boat. What's a boat? You're building an ark. What's an ark? It's going to float out here in the desert? Why? Why are you building? And sometimes when God gives us direction, the people around us, and many times our own family, will be the greatest critics of what we do because they don't understand it. And so God had to disassociate him from his family because I'm sure they disapproved of what he was doing. And so he goes out not knowing where he's going, and he follows the trail to the path or the road to the from Ur of the Chaldees and goes by the Euphrates River for a while, and then all of a sudden God directs him to go through the desert. It's not a good place, not an easy place, but it's the right place. Sometimes the will of God's not an easy place. Sometimes it's not, as far as we are thinking, it's not an enjoyable place. Sometimes the will of God is not a good place for us sometimes to think about. But in the end, certainly, it is the best place in God's will. It's an amazing thought to realize that from Ur of the Chaldees to Canaan, there's a great distance of over 1,000 miles. And they didn't have a car to hop in. They didn't have an airplane to take. And they traveled that distance, and the best thing they had was, I put here, the camel vehicle. and most of them probably walked. And they went out walking on foot. They did not have the motels. They did not have good eating places. The dangers were there that robbers and wild animals, but you understand, they're in the will of God. They're where God wants them. And when we are where God wants us, there may not be the easy places of rest. There may not be the best places of eating. There may not be the safety and security of what the world says is safe. But when we're in God's will, God protects us and God helps us. It's a lot safer, I believe, to be in the will of God in the darkest corner of this world than out of the will of God in America. It's the will of God that's important. And as God directs us, sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we have to leave family, friends, loved ones. Sometimes we have to leave children, grandchildren. Sometimes we have to leave those whom we love dearly. And sometimes the dangers are out there we don't know about. I thank God for His love and protection for His people. And so we find there is a price. Always a price to pay when we live by faith. There's always things that must be changed. There are things that must be worked over and given up. There are things that must have take on different aspects and different importance. All of a sudden, the things that are most important, they sort of grow gradually dim when we live and walk by faith. This path, the Bible says here that when God told him what to do and where to go, the Bible says he obeyed. He obeyed the word of God. He obeyed the message of the Lord. Walking by faith is a walk of obedience. Obedience and faith can never be separated. If a person is faithful, they are obedient. And if an individual is obedient, they are faithful. They just go hand in hand. They're inseparable twins. Faith involves our duty and involves our life. And so the path that Abraham took was a path of obedience. And when it was all said and done, it was accounted unto him that he was righteous. I'd rather have that said about me than anything else. When all was said about Abraham and all the things that took place in his life, they come to the conclusion that Abraham was faithful and that Abraham was righteous. And God put it to his account that he was faithful. Thank God for faithfulness, obedience, loving the Lord. Now in these verses tonight, back in Hebrews chapter 11 once again, verse 8 and 9 primarily. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out of the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Here we have, there's inheritance that's talked about. There's the promises that are talked about, heirs of God. You and I are told of in the New Testament that we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have that position because of the promises of the Lord. We have that position because He has left unto us an inheritance that the Bible says is incorruptible. It fadeth not away. That's our inheritance. And Abraham had the promises of God. Four times in these verses we find the words promise to faithful, using the word inheritance or promise or the heirs. The rewards of faith are great. It's sure. If a person lives by faith, it is completely 100% positive that God's going to bless him. The Bible says in verse 6, this is in the verses that dealt with Enoch, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there is a sureness of reward. God is going to reward. There's no doubt about that. When a person is faithful to the Lord, you can write it down, God will bless. When man is faithful to the work of God and the walk that God gives him and to the word of God, you can rest assured that God will give him rewards. And by the way, all the rewards are not in heaven. There's some things here that we can rejoice in. So it's not just a heavenly reward, but it's rewards here. And the sureness of that rewards, not only here, but thank God for the future. And there is the season. There's a time coming when the Lord's going to give to us rewards and crowns for all the things that we have done. And then there's the sacrifices. Go back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. Here's the great promise of the Lord. Genesis 12, 2 and 3. I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. Make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. There is the promise of the rewards. There's the specific areas of how God is going to bless Abraham. Notice these seven things that I listed here. There is a promise about a federation or a great nation. God tells him here in verse number 2, I will make thee a great nation. Now, God told that to Abraham, and he, at that time, he didn't realize and he didn't know how God was going to do it, but God told him, said, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make you as the stars of the sky and as the sand of the seashore. So God gave him a promise about a great nation. Did Abraham see it? No. He saw the beginning of it. Did he see it in reality? No. Only in his son, Isaac. And in Isaac was all the promises of God fulfilled. Did Abraham count the stars of the sky and say, that's how many I've got? No. But that was the promise that God gave him. And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And so God said, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to flourish you. I'm going to bless you, Abraham. These promises that God gave to Abraham are wonderful. These are promises that you can depend upon. He said, I'm going to make you flourish. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do that. And what a blessed thought it is when God says, I am going to. That means God is going to. And not only that, but he says, I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you have fame. Did Abraham see that? No, not really. But we're reading about him tonight. And every time you open your Bible, you read about this man called Abraham. You read about him in the Old Testament, yes. But there he is listed in the great hall of fame of God as a man that lived by faith. I'm going to make your name great. Abraham. How many children of the Jews have been called Abraham? How many children have been raised into families of the Jewish population and they take up that name Abraham because he is that patriarch of faith? I'm going to make you have a great name. Then I'm going to make sure that you shall be a blessing. Then he says, I'm going to give you friends. I'll bless them that bless thee. And there's a promise not only to friends, but there's a promise to foes, enemies. If they curse you, Abraham, I'm going to curse them. If they work against you, I'm going to work against them. That's why. And by the way, this is not a conditional covenant that God made with Abraham. It's an unconditional covenant. And it does not pass out of existence. He's talking about a great nation. He's talking about a great people. And Abraham in you is that great nation. And anybody that blesses you will be blessed of God. I believe one of the reasons that America has been blessed of God all these many years is that we have been a friend to Abraham's nation. I don't agree with everything that you Jews do. They are lost. They are God deniers. They are Christ haters. But they are still God's people by nationality. And God said, Abraham, if they bless you, I will bless them. And Abraham, if they curse you, I'm going to curse them. There's about the promise to the foes. And then he says, in thee shall all nations be blessed. There's the promise about forgiveness. That verse there, verse number 3 of Genesis chapter 12, that verse says, every family, all families of the earth are going to be blessed because of Abraham. Well, the Jews hated They have been hated from the very inception of the nation of Israel with Abraham. They were hated. They have been hated for century after century, millennial after millennial. And so how in this world are all the nations of this world blessed because of Abraham, that hated man? Through Abraham came the nation of Israel. In Israel, there were tribes, and there was a little tribe called Judah. And out of that tribe, there was a man by the name of Jesse. And Jesse had a son named David. And David, through the lineage of the Lord, through the lineage of the Old Testament into the New Testament, we find the Lord Jesus Christ of that tribe of Judah. He is spoken of as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the head of it. He's the main one. And because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of His coming through the loins of Abraham's offspring and His prosperity before Him or after Him, because of that, Jesus came into this world, birth of a virgin and of the lineage of David. And because of that, all nations have been blessed. There's not a nation in this world that has not been blessed because of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are very few places now where, as far as nations are concerned, there are very few places where the gospel has not reached. Now, there's segments, there's peoples, and there's areas that there's no gospel. There's places in America there is no gospel. But I'm talking about nations now, and in Him, all nations have been blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great promise God gave to Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed, he moved, he went out, and God now is rewarding him. He says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. You're going to be a blessing. I'm going to bless those that love you, and I'm going to curse those that hate you. Because of you, Abraham, all the world is going to have a blessing. And then just in passing, verse number 8 of Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. The patience. He didn't know when it was going to happen. He just knew God was going to honor His word. And his patience, somewhere down the line, Abraham would receive the blessing, and Abraham would receive the promise of the Lord. So he went to a place which he should after receive. Verse number 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise. That means he was passing through. When he got to where God told him to go, he didn't just stay there. He sojourned. He passed through. He was a pilgrim. He was a stranger. The Bible says here that he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. That word tabernacles, we can think of it in our mind, dwelling in tents. Had no permanent situation. Why? Because he's passing through. And it tells us, and God gives us the same understanding here, as far as we're concerned, that we're just pilgrims and strangers passing through. It was a strange land, but God gave him protection. It was a land of promise, and Abraham was preserved in Canaan. Canaan was a very, very hard place, very dangerous place. And I put down here, like Daniel in the den of lions, they dwelt in safety and were unmolested. Why? Because of the protecting hand of God. You know why God did that? He was in the will of God. He was doing what God told him to do, living by faith. And the scripture says here that he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Now that's how I usually quote that verse. As I read that this afternoon, I thought, boy, I have left out something important. He looked for a city, two little words there, with foundations. The tents, the tabernacles, had no foundation. They were not stationary. They were movable. They would pick up and they'd go somewhere else. They're sort of like nomads. They were just wandering. They were vagabonds moving back and forth. They didn't have any foundation to build upon. But now Abraham has a home ahead of him. Abraham has a city that he's looking for, and that city has foundations. My Bible tells me in the book of Revelation it has 12 foundations. And the foundations are the apostles, and the names are written thereupon. And so Abraham looked for a city with foundation, whose builder and maker was God. He looked with anticipation that God was one day going to deliver him to that city. A city of permanence. Foundations. Built by God. It's much better than anything else you could ever think of. I put here, it's better than made in the USA. It's a foundation, it's a city, it's a place that Abraham looked for. And you'll notice here, I'm getting ahead here a little bit, but verse 13, talking about the offsprings of Abraham. These all died, how'd they die? They died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Abraham had, he was farsighted. He saw these things afar off by faith. But seeing them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. And the next verse, verse number 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly place, a heavenly city. And the Apostle John tells us that he sees a city coming down from God out of heaven. It's called the heavenly Jerusalem. Abraham looked for it. Abraham saw it. Abraham embraced it. He didn't obtain it in his lifetime, but I'll guarantee you when Abraham left this world, he went to the city whose builder had given foundations that was stable and had stability, no longer moving, no longer a vagabond, no longer moving around back and forth. He had gone to a place far better. And Jesus tells you and I in John chapter 14, that he goes to prepare a place for us. That where he is, there we may be also. You know what we do? We look at that by faith. We haven't obtained it. We haven't walked in it yet. But we believe it. We embrace it. And one day we will experience it. Just like Abraham did. That's why I said this morning, if a person goes to heaven, they all go the same way. By faith in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham, his calling was, Abraham, leave. Don't take your family, leave your country, leave your family. And Abraham said, Lord, where am I going? Well, I'll tell you when you get there. And when you're there, you'll know it. Abraham tells his folks, and I'm sure they said, well, Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. I don't know yet. Well, where are you going, Abraham? You can't just leave. Oh, God said leave. And as he walked by faith and struggled the things of life, Abraham is listed in the Great Hall of Fame as a man of faith. Leaving, not knowing where he was going, but he went out and he obtained. Well, that's the life of faith. You don't always know the crooks and the corners and the hills and the valleys. I'm glad to know the end result of living for the Lord. Let's stand together tonight.